Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Drum.
February 11th, 2023, and still rolling.
a couple of us been around since the 50s, you know, so been around a long time and still here. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Oh, I guess today's Super Bowl, you know, so I expect these American loving sports people not to show up. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I watch football. Sometimes I watch baseball. I'm more into boxing, you know, because boxing's supposed to be an international sport, but football, they call it world leaders or all that, but it's only Americans playing, same way with baseball. Boxing is supposed to be world-class boxing, but the Russians aren't allowed to fly their flag when they enter a ring now, you know. So it looks like the Americans control everything. Remember Muhammad Ali, they took his title from him because he wouldn't join the military. Supposed to be an international world boxing champion, not just American, but they took his title. It's all phony. You know, American, how they run things. And same way with the sports, you know, football and all that. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to watch, you know. I used to get into football. I remember when Jimmy Plunkett was in the Raiders and stuff like that. I'm not totally against it, but the whole thing is what I know is it's an American sport. And you know, like Jimmy Plunkett, they never put him in the Hall of Fame. You know, it's racist. But you got to be a black guy or a white guy to get anything, you know. Black people are in on everything nowadays, you know. They're half of the country. Remember, it's a black guy that started the Iraqi war. What's his name? Colin Powell went up there and lied to the world about weapons of mass destruction and all that. Went up there and put on a big display for his white buddies. You know, it's all about the American, you know. People join in with them and police are the same way. So anyway, a lot of people are, I guess, I don't know, maybe the game's over. I don't know what's happening with it. Cause I was probably taking my old man's nap during that time. But, you know, the other thing is we could talk about all the weird stuff that goes on in this this world. And people look at it, you know, like China. They're jumping on China right now for a balloon that went over. And the U.S. Used a military jet and military missiles to shoot this big balloon made of fabric, you know. Anything could throw a dart at it, could have took it down. But they wanted to put on a big war display of how great and powerful they are and shot it down. And you look at Washichu comments, and the Washichus are on it, you know. Yeah, man, we need to sanction China. We need to just go with Nukem, blah, blah, blah. All this crap about China. But, you know, there's about 5 billion or 5 million Chinese living in this country that are recognized as citizens of this country. Then there's probably 5 million more, you know, on visa status. You know, and then there's probably 10 or 20 million more coming and going. That's people showing up for China, you know, for a week or two or a month, and then going back, you know. And the other thing is, you heard of Shanghai Bank, right? Shanghai Bank and other Chinese banks are the lenders and loaners of automobile financing. About two or three of the cars that I you know, that I bought came from, I was paying the Chinese for them, you know. They loaned the money. They loaned money for vehicles. They loaned money for homes. They loaned money for businesses. A lot of small businesses, but no telling, probably big business too. They're, you know. And the other thing is, the Americans hooked on them, hook, line, and sinker, like they say, because China supplies the American with mostly everything they have. You know, everything's made in China. Big mouth of the Americans, and they say, why are they talking so much crap about people, about other countries, when, you know, they talk crap about Russia, but there's millions of Russians driving truck in this country. And same way with Middle Eastern Arabs, you know. They drive trucks. Go out there on the highway. Go out there and see. And Chinese, Asians running the produce markets, shipping food across the country. And you want to try and piss them off? I mean, look at all the Chinese restaurants. And real Chinese run them. They're not like Taco John's, you know, white people running them. Don't even know how to roll a burrito, but they're running, you know, Taco John's and these other Mexican places. Chinese restaurants, Chinese run them. When you go to a Chinese restaurant, there's Chinese in there talking Chinese. While you go to McDonald's in China, they ain't going to have a white guy working at McDonald's. It's going to be Chinese. They ain't going to allow it. Anyway, you know, there's things to talk about that, you know, catch my attention. And I seen where this woman, you know, maybe this ain't important to people. She is a little girl. She accused her stepdad of touching her and raping her and all this. And he went to prison, got some big time. He'd been in 20-something years. And she came out and said that was a lie. She made all this up just to get rid of him, you know. But now they don't want to believe her. And she said, you know, anyway, this happens a lot. You know, I know some Indians myself, some bros that got accused of this stuff, you know, because, you know, the kids don't like the stepdad, or the stepdad's, you know, like raising daughters. You don't want your daughters out in the street. You're trying to raise them good. But the daughter feels like they're in prison. They don't get to run around like the rest of the girls. Well, you know, I seen some bad stuff happen. I won't get into it. We'll get into some of this later, or if you want. The other thing I was, you know, want to touch base on before Tanashi takes over, our tribe, you know, like a car passed by and gunned down, shot at a house. Of a woman I know, you know, family I know, and one of the bullets struck her 6-year-old Takoja and killed him. I don't know if they arrested him or what, but there's been a lot of that going on, you know, and we can get into the part of the why are Indians doing this? Why are they trying to play Hasapa and gangbanger and, you know, shooting other Indians, you know, when our enemies right off the res, You know, I'm not telling them go shoot our enemy off the res, but, you know, you get my drift. Anyway, they're suing the government about treaty rights. You know, this is kind of an important topic, but what gets me is they're suing the government for treaty rights for the BIA not protecting our people and defendant having efficient law enforcement on the res. You know, to me, why aren't they attacking the entire treaty right? Why are they worried about this little treaty right? Yeah, because she lost her son. I mean, I have sympathy for that. I have sympathy for a lot of the whole thing is since they made treaties with us, how many Indians died from all kinds of ways? There's more to treaty rights than police not defending the people. There's more to it. The reason why these kids are running around killing Indians and they're supposed to be Indians themselves is because, you know, they're living like Washichu. Where's our treaty rights? We're supposed to be sovereign nation. If we were a sovereign nation, those kids would not be shooting Indians because our people, we should be able to get them and punish them ourselves, rapists and everything. You know, by just being selfish and going after just the law enforcement, that means you only sucking ass to that part. The treaties are what they did to our people, took away everything from us, and one thing leads to another. And by us not having sovereignty like they say, oh, we're a sovereign nation. We ain't no sovereign nation at all. Believe that. We're only sovereign when the tribe wants to use it or the government wants to use it, you know, when they too lazy to go do something. Anyway, you know, it gets me all the, and then, you know, like down there in Arizona, they're having Super Bowl, right, down there. So the Navajos are playing a big part in joining in on the Super Bowl thing. Well, more power to them. And, yeah, they're giving the Native American a bigger shine down there because of this Super Bowl, which is good. But all the Indians that they're giving the shine to have to act like an American to get the shine. You know what I mean? You can't just be a Lakota and get a shine from them. You got to go over there and allegiance and go over there and act white for Super Bowl day. And that's how they got that far. You know, one guy's going to do sign language with some child. You know, and I honor the child, nothing against them, you know, doing sign language for the Super Bowl for some specific part of it. I don't get it. You know, maybe if some of you know could point it out. But anyway, they're making a big thing about it. And those Navajos, sometimes I get irked off because these Navajos are down there, a flute player using the name Black something, you know. It's a Lakota name he's using, though. I don't know if it's Black Crow, Black Bird, Black Bear, something. Anyway, they're playing in front of a Mexican Native American shop. Or maybe it's an Indian with a Mexican name. Spanish name, or should I say Spanish, you know, and he goes out and starts hollering, making a big scene, calling them names, So these Indians get mad and run to the media and say they want to charge him for hate crime because he's hollering obscenities at them for blocking his door and, you know, out there and stuff like that. Yeah, I would get mad too, but, you know, if I was as big as that guy was, I'd go scold and slap the hell out of the guy. You know, my point is the American committed the biggest hate crimes there is against humanity, against us. So why are you gonna go run crying to the head of all hate racism and ask them to help you out? Because one guy is being what you think is racist to you, and he's not a white guy. You know, he's someone just mad at what you're doing at his business. Anyway, we'll go on and we'll talk about this stuff. And I'm really, you know, I get irked that these tribes want to be white. Do we got to be white to get some Indian awareness? I don't think so. I think that's a myth. You know? I mean, our warriors, like they let Geronimo, Hollow Horn, Sitting Bull, a bunch of people are, I don't know if it's Sitting Bull, but they rode in a big parade in Washington, D.C. back in the day. And the people were mad because they're saying, why are you letting them terrorists and killers ride in the parade? Well, they, see, here's my point. These guys were real, actual live warriors against the government, but they got awareness for that. So that's why they were being flaunted in the parade. They weren't getting put in the parade because they can fancy dance or they can blow a flute. No, these guys were being honored by somebody who looked at them as and wanted the American people to see they got some real live warriors. Here's them, you know. They were getting awareness for being warriors, not for being flute players and fancy dancers and stuff like that. And then I watched these interviews on the Super Bowl when the Indians they interviewed, all of them, talk like white guys using, you know, like fancy dancer, you know, not fancy, but fancy, you know, changing their slang to sound Washichu. You know, when Indians trying to be white, they change their slang and try to use that little twist to sound super Washichu. I hear it all the time, you know. Anyway, my point is we don't need to be white to get awareness of our culture. To get awareness of our culture and let people know who we are, is we need to maintain who we are, culture, our spirituality. You know what I mean? We need to be respected for what we were meant to be, not what they want us to be. Okay, so we're going to roll with the show. And come on, Tanashi, it's time for you.
I hope. Well, we're going to say a prayer and get this show started. And with that, I'm going to say a prayer for all of us tonight. Yohila Lakoto Yatiki Tungashla. Dehta to be chunk except what kind of a gunakina. A yokogana. Semenina, evo, Koškalaka, Koškalaka, Lene Johila, Tunkašla, Vičunkik se on, evo, Čuzani, Čo Vičunkičin, Ilko Tunkašla, Onke, on, Onke, Čegunča Šapčunke, Onke, Aštešte, Agliho Jopje, Tunkašla, Heče, Tukatak, evo, Čuzani, Olako, tak, evo, Onče, evo, Čašun, Šika, Onča, Punko, Johila, Onke, Jopje, Tunkašla, Akrtu, Čaša, Onča, Mama Kaškunate, Onšunkila, Onke, Čuzani, O kivinho que ao mitaki as
mitaki as
ao espero thank you Tanshi for these prayers and the world should appreciate prayers in Lakota. We're not playing white man to get your attention. We're being Lakota, you know, and we want to be respected this way. We don't want to be respected because, you know, we're sounding like Washington, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be respected for who we are, our warriors. Don't you agree, Tanshi,
that photo
of Hollowhorn? Tanshi, listen to this. When Geronimo Hollowhorn, hold on. When Geronimo Hollowhorn and all of them, those four Lakotas, rode in that parade back in 1800 for, I forget what president it was who put them up there. He put them there because they were warriors, and he was proud to have these warriors in his parade. He didn't put them up there because they were fancy dancers or flute players. Yep. He put them up there because they were righteous enemies of the United States, and the people didn't like it, but they were respected for being warriors. Yeah,
you know,
go ahead now.
When you look at that, they're not prayed, and all the things they were saying about the Indians that were there, that he wanted people to see that these were real warriors that brought America to where it was to that day, and how they stood for their people. They never laid down anything. These guys were honorable men that he was showing these Washichus, that these guys were real natives that fought against us. But we could, in his terms, they came to turn. Those guys were warriors. They were real warriors. Those people seen combat. They fought against the Washington for us to be here. And look at the backlash that they caught even back then. But it didn't bother them. But they didn't kiss nobody's ass. They were asked to do something, so they did it, which was go to that parade with that guy, the Ateapi, they called him. The president. Well, that's what they did, because they were asked as honorable men. They fought for their people. Like Geronimo said, he said he wished he fought till the last man in his tribe instead of giving up. But if you think about it, these guys, like he said, Hollowhorn, all these guys that were there, those were people that fought against the United States government for us to be here. Otherwise, we would have been annihilated. They were looking to exterminate us totally. And this is what the President of the United States was showing people, was that they couldn't do it. And these people stood up for their people. And that's what he was showing the world, was that these guys were true people, real men of this country called America.
Tanshi, and that's why they made treaties, because because our people was taking them out too. So their only way out of it was, okay, let's make a treaty with you. They're starting to kill too many of us, you know.
Yep.
So they lying, because we believe in our spiritual ways where we don't lie. So they can lie on the Bible and say, okay, we're not going to fight you no more. So they did this. Anyway, that's why they made a treaty. Hold on now. That's why they made treaties with our people, because we were getting down with them. Now this Mexican guy, or whoever he was that was shouting out in front of his business at those Indians, if he would have did that, you know, Geronimo and them were there, they would have just went over and slapped the shit out of him.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But this guy, these Indians nowadays, want to cry to the gun. Let's charge, give them hate crimes. We need to charge them with hate crimes. What the hell? Big old tough-looking Indian playing a flute.
They
we got to give them more hate crimes. Hate crimes.
You know,
the thing is, Tashi, hold on, only one at a time. The thing is, those guys were real warriors. But this guy's over here. Now, I'm not going to blame his whole tribe, but it looks like a whole bunch of that crew, that's how they think. Now, we don't need to be thinking like that. Yeah.
You know, Tashi, when you look at it, look at this as it is. They've been committing hate crimes against us since they've been here. And the government or anybody hasn't done anything about it up to this day. So what makes those guys think that this guy's something's going to happen to this guy? Hollering hate crimes. Even the Hasapas commit hate crimes against us. So why do they get the feeling that these guys are going to stand up and charge this guy? No, they enjoy that. These Washitos, they love that. That's what it is.
That was my next thing. My next thing was, when you read this article, on the bottom they have comments, and you read the Washitos comments. They said, they ain't got no rights. They're Indians. They're Indian givers. They could go sell their stuff and take them back. And they start, what they do is open the door for us all to get attacked because of their stupidity. So all these white people are attacking Indians because of these Indians crying about hate crime. You know, they're saying, quit crying. You Indians, all you do is cry. You're just alcoholics and lazy people that don't want to work. You're just this and that. You're rah, rah, rah. You know, I got on there and I made my comments. Hey, wait, we can't all. Wait, hold on. We're making a lot of noise here. You know, we can't be out there babysitting these other tribes. These other tribes should be man enough and have pride enough to know how to deal with the Washitu and quit crying to them. You know, I ain't gonna cry to them for no help. You know, they do a lot of bad stuff to us, like I was telling you, how they treat us, the doctors and stuff. They treat us like hell. They beat us up all our life on the streets. Get us for being drunk when we ain't drunk. These Washitos call us alcoholics. When, you know what? When the white man is the greatest alcoholic on earth, the greatest alcoholic on earth, there's nothing bigger than the Washitu as far as alcoholism. They make alcohol. They sell alcohol. They ingest, drink, you know, consume alcohol, and they got rich off of alcohol. They're the biggest alcoholics on earth. And they want to call us alcoholics because of a few white clay Indians or a few Indians, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? Look it up on the news, how many of them alcoholics are crashing cars and committing murders by crashing into people and killing people all across the country when they're drunk driving. White people, white women, young white girls. And they want to call us alcoholics. But anyway, The thing is, you know, I would like to see our people, all our indigenous people, to get off that crying game and quit crying to the enemy, because he's not going to help you.
You know,
at all.
Kershey, that big dude that was wimping around about hate crimes, he should have went over there and smashed that white guy's face in, you know what I mean? And then
yeah,
and then didn't tell him.
He would have
went down for a good reason, see? But
yeah,
instead he's trying to depend on
probably would only got 90 days in county jail, you know.
Yeah, you know, three squares a day, a good place to stay, you know. I mean, but, you know, he's trying to make it seem like the Washichu is going to help him. They're not going to help him. He's a Washichu that's doing this. And these Washichus love that. They love that discrimination. Look what just happened at the Capitol building. Look at those Washichu wheels they have in Congress hollering around. Racism. And yet nobody does nothing about it. You know, what do you think they're going to do to that white guy? They're not going to do a damn thing about that guy, see? But this guy could have made a difference if he walked up there and smashed the guy in the face, you know? And that's all he had to do, shut the guy up, you know? And yet he wants to play his victim card. When it comes to Lakotas or Indians, we are not the victims. We're always the perpetrators. I always tell people that. When the cops or the law gets involved with Native American and Washichu or any other way, we're the liars. We could be telling the truth. I mean, Tosh, you know this. Larry knows this. We could be telling the truth, but the white man always comes out to be the victim. Always. And that's how it's always been, you know? And so that white guy would probably turn it around and say, oh, my business is hurt, all this. So he's going to be the victim, see? That's how it works. Washichus protect Washichus. So this guy's not going to get nowhere with that hate crime stuff. He was better off going over and smashing the guy's mouth then, breaking his nose or something, giving him a good lesson. You don't do that to Indians. This is our country. He's a bold person. The guy is never going to see justice no matter what he cries. He could holler, Paul, anything he wants. But because they're Indians and they're Super Bowls, they're going to find a way to find that white guy as the victim, not the Indian. It's always been that way. It's still that way. But we're the landlords. We own this land. They came here and they stole it. And they're still stealing it. And they want us to be a part of that? When are these people going to wake up? You know, and like you were saying, they stereotype us as alcoholics, all these bad things. But look at who puts it out there all the time. Drugs, alcohol, you name it. All the bad stuff that goes on, the Washichus are the ones that put it out there. That's what it is. They brought it here. They put it here. And now they want to blame us as the people doing it. It's theirs. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to own it, see? So they want to, that's why I say, they blame us for all these things. Being alcoholics.
Check what this guy says. He says, there was a 10-year-old girl there who will forever be imprinted with this racism, you know? In other words, you know, he's trying to build up how bad this guy, and his name is Cody Blackbird, and it says he's not even Navajo. Even claims he's Dakota. You know.
Yeah, I know some Blackbirds that are Dakota.
Yeah.
You know.
But Dakota and some other tribe. You know.
You know, if he was so worried about that little girl, why didn't he go over there and stand up for that little girl and smash that guy? See, that's what I'm saying.
Hell yeah.
And that girl would have had somebody that defended her, see, instead of being traumatized.
You know, Tahashi, we were born at the wrong era in life, because you know what? if that guy would have ran into me and my brother back in the day, 60s or something, you know, he'd have got a,
yeah,
he would have got,
yep,
busted through that window, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
He would have got ran out of the store right then and there, you know? But nowadays, where's all these people? Yeah. We didn't, you know, doing 90 days for slapping somebody up in county jail didn't bother us.
Yep.
I mean, you ain't going to go to prison for slapping somebody up, you know? I mean, here I might sound like I'm promoting violence, but you know what? What I'm saying is, for simple stuff like that, why do you want to go make a big crying game to the government? Like I said, just go over there, grab them by the collar, and you know? You know, do what we used to do, you know, back in the day, you know. That's why we survived in the city, me and my brother and all of us. That's why we survived through all that racism, because it wasn't because we ran crying to the cops. That's because we got it on with them. We got on with them racists. You know, we got it on with them.
Yep.
And they quit coming around my house doing stuff.
Yep.
You know, they used to throw rocks at our house and go woo, 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 and do that stuff. And one time I ran out in the street, my mom said, she told me, she said, "Beat him up, son." And that was the first time my mom, she was so frustrated. She said, "Beat him up, son." Well, she gave me that permission. I went out there and started kicking some butt, you know. Because, and they quit that. After that, we was invited down their barbecues. Now they was all trying to be friends with us, you know. But that's the only way we got left alone, was we went out there and we got it on with them. I mean, you know, we got it on. You know, I remember my brother, he was whipping ass on black guys. Black, because we were Lakotas. We didn't let the color of skin intimidate us. We didn't care what color somebody was. If they was honest, we get it on with them. And I'm not trying to promote violence or nothing for our people. But what I'm saying is, crying to the racist, the head of the whole racist society in the world, ain't going to get us nowhere, because that's why there's a million racists on there commenting when Nathan did this and when Indians do this and that. They all come out of the woodwork to attack us and call us names and call us devil worshipers and everything. But
that's like I was saying. That's where this, you know, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, the Washitu's always twisted around. And even though they're the perpetrators, they come out as the victim every time. It never, look at Peltier. Look at what's going on now. Two guys walk because of self-defense. They take him to a racist state, one of the most racist states in the United States, the so-called United States, North Dakota. They knew they were going to get a conviction because of the racism in that state. Why couldn't he get off with self-defense? Because they're racist, see? Things like this, they attack us. When we stand our ground, they turn it around to where it was the other way around. So we're the ones that are the perpetrators. They're the victim. It always ends up this way. We're in a no-win situation. It's their system. That's what we say. They say justice. It's not just. It's just them. There's no just us. You know, there's no such thing when it comes to Lakota. Give me a good example of when there's Indians have ever been given a fair shake. in the Supreme Court or any court. That's never been done. The only time they give us some, like, take for instance this Freedom of Indian Religion Act, which should have been in 1963. You know, it was because the Indians were on the rise. They were coming up. So they made it seem like they gave this Indian something big to quiet them down, which it worked. See, and that was done in 78. You know, this is what happened. And that's why I say we never get a fair shake. Never. Especially with this racist white society, that the Constitution, everything. Read that Constitution. Like I say, it's geared against us, the people that own this land, that are from this land. They never going to give us, even these Hassapas, they're in that system. You know, and they just say it. That's why I couldn't understand this Black Lives Matter, pushing for equal rights. You know, they're never going to get equal rights, never. You know, why don't they back the Native American? It's ours is a land-based. Theirs isn't. They're both people. That's what it is. So when they talk about equal rights, they're talking about being racist against us, like those buffalo soldiers that they used to fight the Indians. You know, you never hear about that, but that was a big thing back in the day. The Washington put the black soldiers out there to kill Indians, so they get killed first before all these white people did.
They got a biker gang called the Buffalo Soldiers, and they're all proud, you know. And they don't even, you know, a lot of times I don't think they realize who the Buffalo Soldiers were and why they were became somebody, because the government didn't want to go. They're tired of going out there losing Washitus, getting killed fighting Indians.
Yep.
So why not send these black guys over to use their bodies, you know? And
That's what it was.
And that's what happened. Those Buffalo Soldiers started joining in with them. Thousands of them. You know, joining in with them to fight us. You know, we ain't got no friends on this earth. We ain't got no society that comes out and stands out for us. We might have friends that support us, but we don't have one society out there that is for our sovereignty and for our treaty rights and for our welfare. Not one society out there in the world. Not one. You know, but other societies, they got friends. They got countries supporting them. You know, Germany, Italy, France, they all support the U.S. They all support somebody. But, you know, you would think that the way we got massacred and the genocide against us, there would be societies out there who support us. I mean, not just people, but governments, but nations that wanna repair and fix this up and make the U.S. Pay for what they did. But we don't have one friend out there.
Nope.
You could say we might have some black friends. We might have some white friends. We might have some Asian friends. But you know what? We really, when it comes to standing up against, you know, on the fight, we're all alone.
Yep.
Because they got the blacks on their side. They got the Asians on their side. They got Chinese on their side. They got Germans, everybody on their side. You know, and I'm not crying about it. People say, oh, quit you crying. I'm not crying. I'm proud of it. I'm proud that we stand alone in this way.
Yep.
You know, I'm proud that we don't need their stuff. And that's why I'm saying these tribes that are running over there crying from support from the Washitu, you know, what the hell's wrong with them? You know, what the hell are they? You know?
you know, Toshin, going back to that, you know, every war that the Lakota people, Native Americans, were involved in, we won the war. Every war that the Washichus tried to be ahead of, they lost. And we're still here. And that, me myself, that makes me proud, because our ancestors that fought for us to be here, they won every war there was for us to be here. And these, they never give us credit for that, even though we did this for the so-called America, you know. And these white people forget who was the communication, who set all this stuff up. It was the Lakota people that did this. And, you know, if they didn't fall back on the studying of Native America, the crazy horse, the way he set up, and they used that in Germany, they wouldn't have never won World War II. Plus, they used the Lakota communications during that time to set everything up, because they couldn't break that code, every secret that these Washichus tried to put out there. They couldn't defeat the language. Every war that we've ever fought, we've won. And yet they sit there and act like they're this great big old thing. No. No, that's a bunch of BS. And like I say, they play a big role in being the victim, these Washichus do, here in America. When we talk about the Chinese and all these people, look at what's going on now. Look at the Midwest. Look at all these farms and these ranches in the Midwest. And tell me who owns those, Tanshi. Washichus don't own those. Those people work for the Chinese people. It's all Chinese. Look at even Scenic. It's all controlled by China. And yet these people are sitting there trying to condemn, you know, China and all.
You know,
they forget that they're still here.
Them Asians bought that town. Getting towards Martin, what's the name of it? Remember going from Martin? Sweat. Yeah,
Sweat.
They own Sweat now. The same ones that own Scenic. They own Sweat.
You know,
and
you know, look, all you got to do is some research. All those big corporations, remember these big fancy tractors you see out there in the Midwest? Those are all funded by Chinese people. The Washichus couldn't do it themselves. They sold to the Chinese people.
Do you know one of the tools that they used to get in? They used Christianity. Those guys who bought Sweat and bought
Scenic.
You know, Scenic. I went into that store to use a bathroom. They didn't even want to let me in there. They was, you know, but finally they let me in there. And they had an altar set up in there, a Christian altar. It was white people in there sitting in there. And that's how they got in. They're using Christianity to have a foothold to get accepted, you know. And well, you look at a lot of them Asians, the Catholics, that's how they got taken over. The Philippines.
Yep.
Islands were taken over by the Catholics, and so they're all Catholic and Filipinos, you know, and even all them islands, Guam and all of them, they're Christians and Catholics, and when they come over here, they travel with the Christians. They call it a pilgrimage. They come over here, and while they're over here, they whip out their cash and buy up these small towns. They bought a town. When you leave Cheyenne, Wyoming, heading west, there's a town, a small town on the left that went bankrupt. They bought that town too. It used to be a gas station and stuff like that. They bought that. There's a lot of towns in communities in the country that are bought by Asians, that Asians own them. And that's why I say, you know, the white man's over here, the regular racist white man is putting down China big time. They're saying, we need a newcomer. But, you know, they got big mouths, but they don't know. They're already being invaded by China.
Yep.
You know, they're already invaded. You know, China already, look at, how many of you bought cars that the lending agency was from China? I did.
Yep.
Three of my last cars, my Nissan Quest that I bought, came from a Shanghai bank. You know? And they own, I looked them up. They own housing.
Yeah.
They loan people money for houses. They own people money for realties, you know, like, what do you call that when you
work for real estate?
For land, real estate. They own real estate. And they also give loans for businesses. So there's a millions of people driving cars owned by China. Even those big mouths, the Washichu that's talking bad about bombing Chinese, if the Chinese could show up one day and say, you know what, we're taking all your cars from you, they'll be on foot. They could come in and say, you know what, take their businesses from them. They could come in and take their homes from them. They can have people on the street walking and homeless in one day if they decide.
Yeah.
You know, and not only that, if they wanted to get violent, they could poison all their food that their Chinese buffets, all the food they're shipping across the country. They could do some bad stuff to this country overnight. And these Americans don't even realize it. You know, me, I'm watching stuff. You know, I say, man, you know what? Look at all this stuff's going on. And I remember, because I got into it with them over my car. What, you know, they were trying, you know, anyway, I got my Nissan Quest from them. They gave me the title and all that. But they were from China, Shanghai Bank, you know. And how many people know that or even think about that? How many people know, you know, there's no way you can get rid of China. There's no way. They're too far embedded in this country. They got, and this country is so hooked on China, they'll starve technology we get from China, everything from China. Them Chinese, they, you know, that little balloon move they put over here, sending the balloon across the country, the U.S. acts like, oh, we shot it down, military jet. We're tough. That's nothing. They were just playing with the Americans to show the world what kind of clowns the American is, using a big military jet to shoot down something that you could shoot. You could use a BB gun to blow it out. You know, it's just made of fabric. You know, I mean, you know, you could use a 4th of July firework and take it down.
You know, Tunshi, going back to that, you know, one of our favorite, you know, motorcycles here in America, Harley Davidson. That Harley is owned by Honda Corporation in Japan. You know, that, so many more. You think about this. All the stuff that comes here, that's here in America right now. Is
all the rice burners.
Control. Yeah. Yeah, you know,
all the
and
rice
here we are,
burners.
You know, yep.
All the cars,
everything
Toyota, Toyota, Honda, all of them are Asian vehicles.
Yeah.
And people driving them, you know.
Yep.
And,
you
know, this country, they could laugh if they upset those people. And plus,
China.
You know, China doesn't need American either. China doesn't need America. China doesn't need them. China can live life without America. They got the whole rest of the world they're supplying. They're down deep in Africa. They're making a transportation system in Africa to cover Africa. They're paying for it themselves. They got in Europe. You go to Europe, man, they're all over Europe, you know, the Chinese. They got businesses in Europe. They got those Chinese, they got Chinese buffets in Europe all over too, just like they got with Chinese working in them that speak Chinese.
South America.
You know?
South America.
One of their leaders in South America was Asian. One of their presidents was Asian. You know?
It's true.
They're down. They're funding, they're trading iron and metal with Mexico right now. They say they got military down in Mexico right now, Chinese. You know?
Yeah.
They're all over. They don't need America. Mm-hmm. Even Canada's sucked into China big. China can do without American because they still do business every day with Russia, another big, giant, leading world power. They have, the Americans cut down Visa and all their credit cards to stranglehold Russia, while Russia and them, they just started a new system right away with China and India with another credit cards or debit cards or system where they don't even need Visa no more. They didn't even need them then. But now they just got rid of all that and life is still going on. I mean, you know, life is going on in Russia. I know this for a fact, you know, and I don't need to be bragging about it, you know, because the Washi, he said that big Russian supporter, you know, but I'm telling the truth because when you know something by fact, you know, they can call me what they want. They can say I support who they want. But I know things for a fact. Those countries, China. Wait, you guys. Wait. The thing is, China, Russia, Iran, all them countries that the Americans are attacking are running all over the world with their own finance, their own credit card system, their own money system. They don't even need Visa and MasterCard and all this stuff. They got a whole nother system that they travel. I mean, there's people on Facebook that I know that I met around the world. Every month, they're down in Mexico City. They're in Cuba. They're in Colombia, you know, they like to tour a lot of these, like Russians and Chinese. They tour all over, and they're all over the place. You can't stop them. The Americans have no power over them. They have no financial ability over them to stop them. So when, you know, if you start leaning a little bit to the American, you're going to get slapped in the face with what you find out. I see Indians believing everything the white man says. You know, they'll say, China's this and China's that. China did this. China. I don't care what the Chinese did. I don't care what they did and what they're doing. What I'm saying is a fact. That they got this country's coming and going. You know what I mean? They don't need this country. They got their own finance system, their own money, and they got money in the bank. The Americans don't have money in the bank. They're trillions of dollars in debt. They're the Americans are living on a bluff. It's a big bluff. They just print money and people think it's American, so they use it. But those other countries are really rich with what they have, you know. And look at the pipeline. Canada shipping oil all the way through this country to sell it to somebody else, using this country for that XL pipeline, which was leaking in Kansas. And you look at the Washichu, and they said, oh, you know, in 20 years, they only lost this many barrels to leaks and all this. They say, there's not a big, it's not as big as people say. The hell it ain't. That XL pipeline leaked into the Yellowstone River a few years back just destroyed a whole bunch of environment. And they're trying to say that's little. They killed a bunch of fish. There was even a goat farmer in outside of Billings lost all his goats because his goats drank that water, you know, cows and stuff.
They're not killing anything else.
And, you know,
it's still.
And that ain't even oil that the U.S. is getting. That's the Canadians are just shipping it through, you know, dirty stuff. And the U.S., you know, the thing about it is who you going to believe? The American or get down and see what's real? Well, I know what's real because I know who I bought my Nissan from. The Chinese financed it, Chinese loan companies. And I looked them up, and they're bigger than how. I mean, when you call up on the phone, where are you at? We're in Shanghai. Shanghai? I thought you was in New York. No. Sorry, sir. You're in Shanghai, you know. Oh, okay. You know, you call up any of those big companies, their operators, they're all Chinese. Listen to their accent when they talk, you know. And you guys want to believe Americans? You want to read Google and go by what Google's saying? Man, don't believe. Look for yourself and don't think that I'm a Chinese advocate or Chinese this and that, or I love Chinese. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, I mean, I don't love any culture that's not my culture. I don't support, you know, I don't support them.
They're called breadbasket.
You know,
they're most of that land.
You know, hey, you guys are on the radio. You got to talk to the people, not to each other. You know, we're here together. So, all our voice has to be sent out, you know, and we need to tell the truth, and we need to set our people straight why they shouldn't be like this guy crying, this native. Oh, he's Cherokee. He's Eastern Band Cherokee, and then he throws in Dakota descent and some Navajo. In other words, he's all kinds of tribes, you know. But he felt insulted. He was insulted by this guy. So he's trying to make a big stink because he got insulted, you know, because it's Super Bowl time and they're disrespecting the Super Bowl. He, in his brain, this is Super Bowl time. Why are you disrespecting us? That's what he's crying about. Now, how many of you agree with that? How many of you agree with all of this? How many of you are so blind that as natives, I'm not talking about Washichu, Hassafa, anybody else. I'm talking about all you natives out there. How many of you got that little American shoulder rubbing against somebody over there? How many of you are out there, this little influence that you want to try to weasel in on us? You know? Well, you ain't weasel in on me. But I tell you what, you need to wake up yourself. We need to. I'm not saying there's no way out of it. We live in this country. We're going to talk to Washichu. We're going to go to school. We're going to work. We're going to buy cars financed by China. You know, we're going to do whatever we can to survive. That's all right. You know, but what I'm saying is when you start getting into the opinion, the American opinion, and start trying to throw that on us using American research to come and jive us is what you learn. It don't fly over here at all because our children need to do better. They need to be proud of their indigenous life. They need to be proud of their indigenous blood. How are they going to be proud of that when you're over here supporting Biden or supporting Democrats or supporting who got voted in as a judge or who, what chief of police or what this and what that, you know? And when it comes time, you know, like I seen one guy right now, pure Indian guy, AIM guy. I seen one of his posts. He put down that over the Super Bowl, the jets that fly over the Super Bowl, the first time women are going to fly over. What the hell do I care? They're still Washichu. I don't care if they're women or what. Why should I honor them flying jets over Indian land? I thought that's Indian land they're talking about, Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
Why should I honor them flying over just in their jets, American jets, just because they're Indian, they're women? You see, that's how easy it is for an Indian to float over to the American side. That's how easy it is. It takes one little thing, and you float over there to the American side. And then you don't watch yourself. You get on Facebook and start talking, and you forget. You hear, I'm in AIM. I'm in American Indian Movement. But you forget. Next thing you're over there, side, real quick, with your headband on, with your AIM shirt and all this, and you're supporting the mayor of some city, you're supporting Indian judge over here, or like some girl, an actress, she's part Indian but won't even claim it. She just claims the European side and all that. But I was reading, stirring her up. And, you know, maybe Wikipedia ain't good too, but I studied up and it said that she was conflicted or had an attack years ago for nude photos. So I looked and sure enough, to sell herself out to become a movie star, to become in that Hollywood game, what did she do? She started posing in nude and all that. That's what they do. She started posing nude and all that. And who's in these pictures with her? Hassapas and whites. Hassapas and whites. Well, she chooses. They will lead these Indian women. The first thing they do is make them show off their bodies, their nudity, make them lose their dignity to get a chance to join in with them. And if you don't, they will turn their back on you. That's why I don't like that Robbie Robertson. Because about 15, 20 years ago, he started this beautiful Indian woman. I'm not going to say names that I know. He started making promises to her, all these promises to her. And she was all proud and even boasting about it to me. And there all of a sudden found out he was after something else, Robbie Robertson. And when she didn't roll that way, guess what happened? He dumped her like a ton of lead. And now she's just a poor Indian woman without no future to be a rock star. But at least... At least to me, she's still a Lakota woman that are Indian woman that I'm proud of because she didn't go that way. You see, but these Indian women are doing that. And I was looking at, and I hate to say it, but like Nathan's daughter turned on them. And, yeah, maybe she has reason to. Maybe she knows more about what's going on than anybody else. But she still turned on them. But you look at all her pictures. She takes photos, flashing skin with Rihanna and all these black stuff and Vogue and all this and everything she's doing. You know damn well she sold out. And no telling how deep it's going to be. And when it ends up, where's she going to be at? Is she going to be like her dad? End up in prison, end up in the dumps, end up in disgrace? That's why you don't want to go that way. Because if you go that way, you can end up some kind of way you ain't going to appreciate. You know? And when you do go that way, you better hold your dignity high and hold your self-respect high and be careful what they want from you. Because if you don't have no skills, like say you're a musician, you better, if you're going to go out there and play the music game, you better know music theory and know all this. If you're going to go out there and be an actor, I mean, I've seen actors. Most actors know how to dance. They know how to play music. They know how to sing. They're jacks of all trades, even Jackie Chan and all of them. You better be good and not just have a pretty face. Because if you get picked just because you have a pretty face, then you're picked for something else besides that pretty face. But if you get chosen because you're skilled, yeah. You know what I mean, Tashi? You know? I mean, I encourage our women to go out there and try to make it. But don't depend on your pretty face.
Yeah. You know, Tashi, back in the day when our grandmas and them were alive, you know, me and Tashi was just talking about this, but, you know, when the first time I ever showed a Playboy to my grandma, and her reaction was, I mean, you know, because I didn't think nothing of it. I thought, you know, and she got a little surprised. And you know, remember how they go, who he? And she said, who he? She said, these women have no shame. She said, what is this world coming to? And she made me throw that Playboy in the fire, you know.
And did you throw it in the fire?
I had to, because, you know, she was watching me, you know what I mean? But that's, she said
you
that.
She kind of slipped the page out, though.
Yeah. Yeah, she said that women weren't put on this earth to do that, see? She said women ain't supposed to do that when they're put on this earth. She said, look at how far we've come, she said. Women have no shame of doing this. She said, that's against That's against our belief, is what she said. But she goes back to what you were saying. This woman that refused, she got dumped. But she still has her dignity, see? And this is something that like I say, all these perverted things going on nowadays. It's okay. Like even these winkters, like we was telling you, I was telling you about the two-spirit, they call it. That's a shame that they're doing that. That's not what that is. That's not what that means. You know, and on and on, you know, and like Leonard Krodoff said, they crawl up the wrong that kind, you know, is what he said, you know, but, and it goes, and these women nowadays, like you were saying, when they're all skimped out and, you know, damn near showing everything, they're popular. But when they're modest and they don't want to do this, then they're hated, you know. That's what we've become. That's what my grandma was trying to tell me back in the day. See? And she said, that's not what women were put on earth to do. See? And yet, that's how far we've come.
You see, there's a lot of white women right now, actresses, that are putting down how they got used to get where they are. But yet, they still got to where they are. Now they're putting it down, but they still did it. So now, after it's all over, they want to put it down, but they still did it. And they want to blame the producers and those big wigs that they're sending up the river right now. Wallstrom or what? I don't know who they are, but you know, they're still all getting, you know. But still, they did it.
Yeah.
You know, they were doing it just like all those women that showed up at Bill Cosby's house with bath, soap, champagne, and all that because they were in hopes of getting someplace. And when they didn't get it, they accused him of rape. You know? Yeah. Wow. That's why I said, I know one woman that didn't do that. And for this reason, I always respect her and defend her. And I don't like that Robbie Robertson at all. You know, I talked to him on the phone back in the day, you know. He was even trying to make me think he was somebody, but he was sounding. Robbie Robertson is in a band called The Band. He denied he was Indian. He played white, and he got, you know, famous. But when the American Indian Movement started hitting and being something and Wounded Knee, and they started getting notice and making you proud to be Native, then he jumped in. Okay, now I'm Native. I hate it all this time, but now I'm Native, you know? And I don't respect people like that. You know, you was hiding it, but now you're Native. You know, you got famous because you was white, but now because of us low lives, now you're rich, and you're gonna use that and still be arrogant to us. See, Robert Robertson, he's still arrogant to Indians. He's still high and mighty, rock star, whatever. He don't treat Indians decent. I know this because he never tried to support a real Indian musician. Not just because he didn't try to support me, but a whole lot of them. The only ones he support is the Indians that act Washichu. The ones that run in and talk with that Washichu twang, you know. I have family, you know, that kind of twang. My family, you know, these kind of Indians. You listen to them. Those are the ones that get put in these spots, and they don't even get that high. I don't know one. There's another Indian guy called Taboo. Taboo. You guys might heard of him from the Black Eyed Peas. He don't even claim Indian. But he's supposed to have a little Lakota in him. But he claims Mexican. But way in the corner someplace, he claims this Lakota. But if you look at him, he, you can see it in him. When I first seen the Black Eyed Peas, when I seen his face, I said, damn, that guy's a skin, man. And I started checking, you know, reading up on him, and I found out he's got some Native in him, but he don't really claim it. And he's totally Hasapa in every move he makes, you know. You know, in order to make it out there big time, you're going to have to be Hasapa or Washitu. You know, I seen some good actors, and I seen some good talented people. And I, you know, I'll hold my hand up high for Scott Means. I mean, I seen Scott Means performing in theater. Probably nobody seen this before. But I seen Scott Means performing in theater, not movies. I seen him in movies too, but I mean in theater. Scott Means is a talented Lakota. And top it off, remember when he sung that with us, Tanshi? He sung that hard, right?
Yeah.
Boy, this guy make them ropes spin. And he danced hardcore the whole 4 days. But out there in the world, he stayed Lakota. I seen him. I went and watched him perform, and I was impressed the hell with Scott Means.
Yeah.
Scott Means is a damn good actor, but they wouldn't let him play Crazy Horse because they didn't want Lakota, because Lakotas don't want to bend the rules like those Crees or Canadian Indians, you know? You know, they don't want Lakotas to play these parts and these roles.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm talking about Indians like Scott Means. He stuck to his guns, but he displayed talent. We can go out there and be talented people. We don't need to be Washitu. We can be ourselves and be a good mechanic. We can be ourselves and be good this and that. You know, there's one Indian trying to do hip-hop. I told him, I said, you know, you do pretty good. You write some good stuff. But why do you got to act like a Hasapa when you do it? He said, do I do that? I said, hell yeah, you do it. I said, why can't you just go out there, do a show, be in a Lakota without grabbing your crotch and bouncing around, you know? He'll popping around back and forth on the stage. You know, why don't you just be yourself? Why are you up there slapping sunglasses on and all this stuff? You don't need sunglasses in the night. Why do all this stuff? Why are they doing it? You know, Tanshi, look at, there was a day when our people, Eagle, the mighty eagle, we adore them. We hold his feathers. But nowadays, these Indians, they're running around looking like roosters and what happened to the eagle?
Yep.
They show up looking like a rooster or a pheasant or even a peacock.
Yep.
You know, they forgot all about the eagle. These Indians, they go running around with their hair dyed this way, combed this way, dressed up with all the looking like peacocks, pheasant, roosters. What happened to the eagle? You know, what happened? They forgot about our messenger.
That's America.
They forgot. Yeah, they forgot about the reality of our being. You know, they forgot about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, you know, I have to commend my brother here, Philip. You know, he lives in Cleveland. And he lives over there around nothing but Washichu. But at least when you look at him, he ain't running around like an old damn peacock or a rooster. He looks like a indigenous. You know, he can mix in with us Lakota real easy. You know, and I respect that when people present our life. You hear these Mexicans down there talking about that the condor and the eagle when we meet. Well, we already been connected with South America from the beginning of time. We never lost it, so what the hell are they talking about? So now our people need to understand who we are. We're not roosters, pheasant, peacock. You know? We represent our spirituality, the eagle, the bear, the elk, you know, all our representatives of four directions.
Yeah. You know, Kunshi, that goes back to that, what I was telling you about. These people that take this word, this word called Mitake Oyaski, and blow it out of proportion. See, that's what you're talking about. When you forget that, and then you go the other way, see, there's no more that Mitake Oyaski. See, that doesn't exist there. See, and these people that overplay that or overuse that, trying to get into something that they wish they were a part of, you know, which they know they should be a part of it, but they're far from it. But yet they play that, trying to make Lakotas feel guilty. No, we know who we are. See, and that goes back to what I was talking about. That single word that everybody misinterprets, Mitake Oyaski, you know. That's a big word, and I hear a lot of people use it. Well, like you were saying, when you start disrespecting these things that are sacred, then that goes out the window, that Mitake Oyaski. And people really have to look at that, and they have to look at themselves, because like I say, you throw all that away when you go down that road. And that is something that we shouldn't do as Lakota people or Native people. You know, our spirituality, everything's still intact. We Lakota still have it. And like you were saying, Scott Means and what he did, he refused to bend to the Washita way. So he's talented, but they didn't want him because they couldn't control him. They couldn't make him be a Washita. And to me, people like that gain a lot of my respect, you know, and that's it goes to these women that, like you were saying, that when I refuse to show her body, you know, and that's the truth. Those things, like my grandma said, women ain't put on this earth to do that. She said that's not right. She said, look at how perverted we've come. Look at how far we've come. And it's things like that that people really got to pay attention to. And these so-called Native Americans or these Indians doing this. Like, you know, I was checking this thing out. They said there's a hoop dancer, a woman hoop dancer that's supposed to perform at the Super Bowl, too. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's something I heard. A woman hoop dancer, you know. And you know, when was there ever a woman hoop dancer, you know? We've never had that. These things, they're getting all twisted around. I guess it's good that they're performing at the Super Bowl, but like you were saying, they shouldn't bend the rules. They shouldn't bend the truth to satisfy the Washita. Keep it real. Keep it for what it was. Like you were saying, that parade in Washington, D.C. with our Tunkashila. They kept it real. They didn't pretend. They didn't pretend to be something else. They stood proud. They didn't care what anybody said. They were defenders of their people, and they were proud of that. And I think a lot of these people today refuse to look at that because they want to fit in and be a part of that Washitu system. It all has to do with this Muzaska that we talk about, you know. And look at this young boy in Nevada now. That's in the world of the Washitu, and what he's facing now. You know, this all these accusations. You know, this is how far we've come, see. And it shouldn't be like that, but yet that's how it is today. Everybody's trying to be the Skawi Chasha. And the Skawi Chasha has taken us over the cliff. And that's where this like I was telling you, this Mitaki Yasin comes in. The one belief plays a big part in our ceremony. A big part of our lives. And it goes back to what I told you before about these wapkas that these people use. Not too long ago, all these chiefs could tell you a story with each feather on their wapkaha. Do we have people out there that could do that now? They put it on and act like it's a big, no, it's not for show. That's not what it's for. There was respect and honor in each one of those feathers. Every one of those feathers is sacred to us, small or big. Even these plumes, these great big plumes that these people are dancing with and stuff, those are sacred to us. But yet, it's all about show business, how fancy you could look. The spirituality isn't there anymore. It doesn't exist. And that's what happens. Because you're going down that wrong path. And people, the indigenous people, Lakota people in America, they really have to start thinking about that. Who are we? What are we? We're never going to die Washitu. We're never going to die Hasapa, regardless of how much we perform and try to be like them. They're never going to accept us. And we're never going to die that way. You're born in this world a Lakota, you're going to die a Lakota. That's plain and simple. You're not going to die Hasapa or Skawi Chasha or Pchechokahuska. No, that don't exist. In reality, we're going to die a Lakota. We're going to die Indian. We're going to die Native American. That in itself ought to be honorable to these Lakota people, these Indian and Native people out there. And that's the thing with this, what you're talking about. You know, I respect that girl that did that. And the guy that tried to make her do that, blackballed her because she refused to be that way. That guy that did that should be ashamed of himself, you know, because you don't do that to, you know, our women or any women. And that's why I told you about that Playboy, about what my grandma said. She said, they have no shame. Why is that? She said, that's not what a woman's put on. And those are things, those are teachings that come from way back. And we forget those. It's easy to forget when this Muzaska is involved. You know, we bend it to Washitu, you know. And that's not right. We are who we are. Wakuntunka made us that way. And that's who we are, and we're going to die as who Wakuntunka made us. And we can't change that fact. And people got to start thinking about that. Who are we? Who are you? You know? And to bend to the Washitus and give them what they want because a little bit of Muzaska or notoriety or publicity, that's not right. That shouldn't even exist. Be proud of who you are. You know? And going back to, you know, they're going to have the 50th anniversary of Wounded Knee. You know, back before Wounded Knee 73 started, remember, there was a bunch of grandmas, bunch of old ladies that took Dick Wilson and threw him out of office before all that came down. There was a bunch of grandmas there. The men didn't do it. It was the women that stepped up and told him that he was a bad leader and grabbed him and literally drug him out of office and threw him outside. But because of the 34 and the election that was held, Dick Wilson still held power. But because of all these grandmas, there's a bunch of them, Edna Two Dogs, Grandma Lamont, all these ones. You know, there's a whole bunch of ladies that did this. Lou Bean, you know, Gladys Bissonette. But it was these ladies, you know, and they deserve to be honored during that 50th. And I hope they do, because it was a lot of women.
I wanted to point out something. I was looking at this photo. I found it. Hollow Horn Bear, Geronimo, American Horse, in that parade.
Yep.
It was It was Theodore Roosevelt. Hold on now. It was Theodore Roosevelt's inauguration.
He brought
these Indians. Well, here's my point. They're riding in this parade, and they're I don't know which one, holding staffs. They're all holding stuff, but they're. Then they have a parade in 2016, and these Indians are riding in a parade, and they're hauling the U.S. flag. One horse is draped in the U.S. flag. You see how we change
them,
or not we, because that's them. I'm still like these guys, Hollow Horn Hair Bear, American Horse, and they were cruising that parade. They wasn't honoring no American flag. They was having their staff. But nowadays, to honor, they go in these parades, they go right in with the American flag. And that's a whole different weakness of our people that shows the weakness of our society, you know. And it's a shame that we have to be like this just to survive. Yep. Well, I don't think we need to be that way to survive. I don't think so. I think we should be ourselves and survive.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
You know? I mean, why do we gotta represent the Washitu to survive? First, we gotta represent them to be ourselves. That's what they're doing at the Super Bowl right now. They're representing the Super Bowl and everything to be themselves. Now, I don't have nothing against it. They're having their big shine today, and they're all proud they was in on it. And they'll never wash their hands for whoever they shake hands with, and you know, won't want to change their undies for a long time, you know. But my point is, you know, and same way with the young guy doing sign language. Yeah, I'm happy that they picked him to do sign language. But my point is, why do we let them pick us for their reason?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Why are our people being used for their reason? We're being exploited for their reason.
That's my point.
And, you know, you guys with your phone lines open, I wish you would jump in and comment and say what you think about that.
You hit the nail right on the head, you know, with that last statement. I'm going to say this. No self-respecting native would participate in any of that, whether they were asked to or not. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. That's exactly how I feel. And we're seeing clearly the ones that are participating, the ones that are the sellouts, the ones that are showing us that they're assimilated. Now, don't get me wrong. I like football. But when that team is in a major game like this, there shouldn't be any natives there. Matter of fact, I know Amanda Blackhorse is actually having a demonstration against them.
Is she?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But nobody's heard it. I've seen it on her page. She, you know, and she posted it in her Facebook reels. So that's how I got to know about it.
At least she ain't bending over the years.
Well, there was somebody that posted something about it, about the game, and I'm like, and I made a comment, you know, well, where's the demonstration at? There's no demonstrations being done against this football team. You know, if Vernon was alive, this would be a perfect out. He would jump at this because it's a nationally televised game. And
well,
he knew how to play the media. He knew how to play the
who's
media.
Who's playing in this game?
Kansas City and the Eagles. Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs and the Eagles?
Yeah, Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia, okay. Well, you see, I mean, I don't, that's how much I even know about this. I didn't even know who the hell. But you see, you're right. You know, where our people, well, it's just a hard thing because there's so many, there's 5 million documented Indians, people, that's people with Indians with papers like dogs. Then there's a bunch of Indians that aren't papers. You know, but the ones that are papered like dogs, like, you know, I hate to say it, even me, you know, there's only a small percentage that disagree and that go against that. But there's like, say there's 5 million. In other words, there's only, say, 20,000 who disagree with it out of 5 million. The rest, so how do you fight? How do you go against the majority of your people being American and riding around with flags and all that? I like on the res here, I'm becoming an outcast. I'm an outcast in my own res just because the way I think. You know, I had these Indians, even relatives say, hey, throw that Indian shit out the window. This is modern times, you know. You know, they're jumping my case.
I've heard that statement, too. I've heard that statement from natives that are go against traditional spiritual practices. They've actually commented on stuff that I've posted on our AIM page, and I've blocked them from the page. I'm not going to have somebody sitting there, native or not, you know, disrespecting the ceremonies. It's just not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Yep. That's right. Hey, here's the other thing is when, you know, you look at Tanshi Vember or my brother or different people, look at Crow Dog, remember Fool's Crow, Geronimo and all them. And when you look at them, you recognize when they have eagle feathers, you recognize the ego and the pride of this symbol of our humanity. And then you look at now how it turned into roosters, pheasants, and quail, you know?
Yeah,
and you know what I mean. I don't see that when I look at Indians. I don't see the power of the eagle in them no more. I don't see that. I say, man, look at this guy. He looks like a damn rooster. Looks
it's
like
because
a damn
they become
vessel.
Assimilated.
You know, and how, you know, I mean, no matter what we do, we don't need to look like what we like. If you have a job, like say being a rock musician. Now I see Indians going on stage wearing these bitch boots and you know trying to look like rock and rollers. But I was always proud of my band members, you know, like because we're res Indians, you know. Daryl Fassors and all that. We never went out on the stage trying to look like, you know, look like like rock and rollers and stuff. We're just poor ass Indians looking at all these. I seen other bands from other states and other tribes go on stage before us, and they come out there dressed up like rock stars, and they want to put on, oh, we want to bless the four-legged, the winged, the blah, blah, blah. And then they do a little sage in the thing. Then they start, do their little American Indian show, you know. We got out there, we throw down, we kick, you know. We didn't go showing off, you know, we're just who we were. We didn't put
I don't
on
know.
A big old,
I heard, I don't know, I heard that in the 80s you had some big hair.
Some big hair.
Yeah, like them hair bands, like Motley Crue.
Yeah. Yeah, that must have been a lie because in the 80s, I was sitting in prison. So you all the way wrong there. You know, somebody stole you a lie because in the 80s, I was sitting in prison. You know, gotta get the year right there. You know?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I never did do that shit. And, you know, I mean, the co-host will tell you that she was there when they wanted us to wear war bonnets. And we said, nah, you know,
yeah.
You know, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, we wasn't going to wear no war bonnets just for money or just for show. We said, hell no. Matter of fact, we canceled that gig and didn't want to play there no more. Went was trying to sneak out of town there, you know, because I knew we pissed them off, you know. But the thing is, you know, no matter what we do, it's like the girl I'm talking about. And I don't mention her name because I respect her. But regardless, she didn't want to go all that route that Robbie Robertson was trying to pull on her. And so for that reason, she like Vimber used blackball. She didn't get that chance. She didn't get the big video and all the opportunity this guy promised her. You know, she didn't get none of that because she wanted, she held her dignity and held the culture high. And matter of fact, she was a sun dancer. And you know, and no matter what, I respect that. Because there was a post on Facebook the other day about being successful, about how people, and this is true, our people don't become successful, so right away we blame. They blame the Washichu or they blame everything on their success, why they didn't become successful. But I know why a lot of these guys didn't become successful, because they didn't want to learn their trade. They didn't want to, just want to be successful without working at it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be successful by just sitting on your ass. You're going to have to do something like me. I might be a poor-ass Indian sitting over here on the res, barely having firewood or whatever. But you know what? I feel successful because I didn't have to sell my ass to do anything. And I ain't going to brag, but I have, you know, I mastered my skills in music and everything else. And just like Vimber, he mastered his skill working on motorcycles, Harleys and stuff. Just like my brother, he's a jack of all trades, you know. I could tell you some of the stuff he did, but, you know, no one will believe it, you know. We are talented people, you know. We mastered our skills And the only reason why we're not successful in a white man's eye is because we didn't sell our ass.
Yeah,
well, we're successful. We're successful people. I can die knowing I did what I was set out to do. I did big rock concerts. I helped build houses. I rebuilt motors. I worked on diesel engines. You know, I flew airplane. You know, I did all this stuff.
Well, that's like me too. It sounds like I'm like your brother. You know, I've done screen printing. I've been a cook. I've been, home remodeling. I'm an artist by trade. I play music. It runs
and
the gamut.
You're successful. You're successful. You know, when you die, you're successful in what you do.
I haven't sold out my integrity. I haven't sold out my character.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen you in no Daisy Duke, so I can't comment. You know? I mean, there's some actual Indians that went out on stage. I seen some flashing their legs and ass wearing, seriously.
Damn.
One of them, I was trying to think of his name, but he's from one of those tribes in Southwest, you know, going out on stage trying to look sexy, you know. I mean, at least, you know, like we don't need to do that, you know. And still, 10 years later, after he did all this stuff, he still ain't a rock star. But we got to go. I'm sorry. Time just flew, so Tahan should take over.
Oh, it's almost time to go here, son. We'll say a little prayer and we'll close up.
All right. With that, we're going to have to take off and thank you all and hope you Super Bowl people, you had an enjoyable night, you know. And else, I thank you guys for being here with us tonight. And go ahead, Toshi.
Are we off the air now? Are we back door?
Don't say back door. You make it sound.
No, okay.
Go ahead. You got 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Vastelo. We chose on it. Hello. I think you.
Okay. I thought you wanted to say something. That's good, Vastelo.
Vastelo.
You know, but we're going to go. And thank you all for being with us and all those out there that hardcore John Davis and different people that were in the chat with us tonight. Thank you for tuning in. And even you haters out there, go wash your hands. Wash behind your ears, too.
You're such a dialogue. Il nostro soffetto non si, io schiacchiavo anche si raccontava.